Amen. Thank you. All right, go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13. As we've been studying David's life, we've seen that he's had some great victories. God has blessed him. He was king over all of Israel. And, of course, God planned that whole thing when he was anointed to be the king. And through that, God has been leading him. He's been fighting battles. He went out, sought the Lord. The Lord provided different ways of defeating different foes, which is amazing. He went to God directly, and God revealed to him exactly how to do those things. And again, we found out a couple weeks ago how David got lax in his duties. The Bible says when kings should be at battle or at war, he was on a rooftop. He shouldn't have been there. And we know what happened with Bathsheba, the whole situation there, that he saw her and he had an opportunity right then and there. He could have stopped the whole thing. But instead, he dwelt on that in his mind and heart. And the Bible says he took her. And through that, that was the beginning of his sin. Of course, the adultery and then murder after that. And now we're going to see some more results of that very thing that took place, consequences in his life and his family's life for his disobedience and in that particular situation. And so as we continue to study, last week we talked about Hebrews chapter 12, about God chastens those whom he loves. And of course, David was a man that was beloved of God, and God was leading, guiding him. And so he wanted to take care of that, and he did. Psalm 51, we shared as David confessed his sin, realizing that he had sinned against God. Really, that's where we need to come as Christians. When we do something wrong, we ought to admit it and take care of it. Whether it's a private or a public thing, we need to deal with it and just say, I have sinned against God. When you do that, then God will encourage you. He'll strengthen you. It's contrary to the way we feel about things, to be honest with you. Our pride says, I don't want to tell anybody. My pride says, I don't want to go before anybody or do anything or to say anything. But that's what is our pride. And our pride will always hinder us from following God, always. And so that's why it's important. Just do it God's way. And you know what? We'll be surprised what can happen when we do that. Of course, God restored David and his family. He gave him a new son through Bathsheba. That was Solomon. And we haven't got there, but as we study Solomon in his life, he was a man who followed God for a long time. And then he too failed. And the Bible teaches us why that happened. We'll see that when we go on down the road. Every person, again, remember, has an opportunity to make a choice. David's children have an opportunity to make a choice. But often, the way we train up a child, the Bible says that's the way he will go, right, when he's old. And so sometimes, good and bad, those things will come to happen to fruition. So we know that you're not going to be judged for your father's sins, but your father's sins influence you a lot of times to do the things that are wrong. And that's kind of what we see in chapter 13 today. And so let's go ahead and read this and look at this morning, just for a few moments. It begins in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon laid down, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come, and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house, and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. Let's go ahead and pray there, and then we'll probably go through this whole chapter today. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the Word of God. that you've given it to us, that it might help us to understand our relationship with you and how you want to us to respond to you and how you want us to live. And Father, I pray you continue to guide and direct in our lives. Help each one of us look to you and trust you for what you have to speak to us about today. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see it set up that this fellow, his name is Amnon. He was David's son. He's David's third son. And his mother was Maachi. You can see that in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 2, if you want to look that up. His mother was a princess from the royal house of Talmai. His sister Tamar, the Bible says, and this is talking about Absalom's sister, and Absalom's the third son. Amnon was the first son. Got that backwards. It tells us that he was beautiful as well as she was. So they were goodly to look upon. So Amnon, the firstborn, was having a struggle here. He saw this Tamar, and he began to the point where he was vexed. It says in verse 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister. Now, we all know kind of what that feels like. I mean, we can go back and remember the days that we were courting or dating or whatever with a certain person, how we were vexed. You remember how that felt? I mean, you couldn't think about anything. It's funny because it's one of those things that when that happens to you, often you don't eat a lot. You kind of just quit eating. You know, you don't have to have a big meal because all you can think about is one thing. And that's that person that you're vexed with, or if you will, or troubled about. This case, it says under distress. That's what that vexed means. So he loved her so much he couldn't think about anything else. That's all he could think about. His appetite was gone, and he was consumed with the thoughts of Tamar. And so his hands were tied in that situation because his heart he had given to this girl. Tamar. In fact, the Bible says he loved her, that he was vexed in this situation. So here we see that he was going through a difficult situation, difficult time. And of course, the Bible teaches us that the idea of a brother marrying a sister really was against the Jewish law. So this should never have taken place. It should have just been right away, should have been off bounds. It's wrong. We're not going to do this. And that's the way we need to look at things. When we study the Bible, we see that God's Word teaches us something and we know it's wrong. Don't entertain it. Just don't do it and you'll be in a safe place. He entertained this thought. He entertained these things. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 17, it explains that a little bit. It says, "And if a man shall take his sister or his father's daughter or his mother's daughter and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. And they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity." And again, that was a Levitical law that was given way before this, so he should have known. In verse 2, again, it says, in that last part of the verse, it says, Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. A rock and a hard place, if you will. He realized there was some protocol to this. He knew this. I'm sure he was taught this. That he could not have access to her. Probably her parents, David and Micaiah, if you will, maybe had protected her in this situation. Maybe they taught her as well, because we'll see when she responds how she responds to this. So he was in a place where his hands were tied literally. He couldn't do anything about it, and his heart was breaking over this particular person. And that's so often what happens is covetousness will drive us to do anything we can to get what we want. And he's kind of in this situation. He has this desire to have something he shouldn't have, but covetousness is going to just keep him going in this direction. So he had a friend, like we all have friends. Without taking the advice of a godly friend, he took the advice of somebody who was giving him bad advice. And this is something we all need to be reminded of, is that when you look for advice, look for somebody who is walking close to God. Don't look for somebody who's not, because the advice they're going to give you is probably not godly advice. And if they give you advice apart from the Bible, then you know it's probably not right. So always check that. Make sure. Why? Because you really want to walk close to God. You don't want to get farther away from God. Verse 3, it says, "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab." This is his cousin. Okay, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. So here the Bible tells us he was subtle. And so he's coming alongside. He's That word subtle means wise. Doesn't mean necessarily wise in a good way. It can be wise in a bad way as well. So he's wise, okay? He's wise to the situation. He's wise and he has a plan. And sometimes, you know, the devil himself is wise in his plans. Not godly wisdom, but just the opposite. So here he came, verse 4 says, and he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son? Lean from day to day, wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So lean day to day, he's not eating. He's probably, his face is getting a little bit sunk in or whatever. He hadn't been eating right and taking care of himself because he's lovesick. He's just dying here. And again, some of us can remember those feelings when you first dating and had a relationship with somebody that you were, you felt like maybe even God was leading you to. You still had that desire to be with that person all the time. Did you not? Anybody relate to this? Am I just making this up? This is the way it was for me. But anyway, and so we see this situation is hard on him. And verse 5 says, and Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. Well, he was already sick, right? Love sick. And when thy father cometh, David, to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat at her hand. So Ammon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Ammon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make thee a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Ammon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Ammon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake cakes. So here he's feigning this sickness. He's not in the sense he's maybe making himself more sickly, if you will. But whatever, he listened to his friend or his cousin's plan. And again, his cousin was not giving him a good plan. Why? Why was that plan not good? Deceitful, absolutely. It's disobeying God, absolutely. And so if you are given advice that disobeys God, what is that? Is that good advice or bad advice? Bad advice. So what do you do with that? Don't take it. Thank you. It's okay to talk, okay? This is Sunday school. Don't take it. In other words, stick to the Word of God. Find out what God says and then make sure you adhere to that, His plan. So he gave him deceitful advice, bad advice. It was ungodly advice. Someone who really loves you and cares for you and is following Christ will never give you advice that misleads you to follow God. They will never give you advice on purpose. Now, we all have sin in our lives. We all struggle. But on purpose, they will never give you advice that goes against the Word of God. Okay? Know that. If they do, then you know it's not godly advice. And you don't follow that. So anyway, Tamar came in. She made the cakes. But look at verse 9. It says, and she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. Talk about deception. So all the way through this, we know his plan. We know what he wants. He doesn't want the meat. Now, meat here is food, okay? If you look up the word, that's what it means in the Hebrew, food. Not necessarily, you know, steak and that kind of food, but it could be bread and whatnot, cakes. And so he didn't want it because that's not what he was after. And I know what this feels like in a sense. And Ammon said, have out all men from me. So now he's got a plan. He says, hey, let's get everybody out of the room so we can be alone. Here again, the plan, the deception. And they went out every man from him. And when Amnon said unto Tamar, bring me the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. All of a sudden now he wants the meat, right? And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them in unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. Here's the plan. Remember those words took? That word took, excuse me, that word took is the same word that David was used when David took Bathsheba. He took her. He didn't give her a choice. He's not giving his sister a choice here. If he'd have been wise, again, if he'd have been someone who was concerned about what God thought, he would have stopped here. He would have stopped way before this, but again, he would have stopped here. Why? There's an objection. There's someone who's saying, let's don't do this. I don't want to be part of this. Verse 11 says, and when she, verse 12, and she answered him saying, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. She told him and warned him right there. She's giving him wisdom. And yet he doesn't care about wisdom. Why? His heart is already determined. He has coveted after this lady. There's a lot of things we can covet after. It's things as well. Whatever we desire, then we put that first above everything else. That's what he's done. He's put this covetous desire of her above everything else. She's saying, let's don't do this. She didn't want this to happen. She was a virgin. So she tried to stop him. We see she even had a plan herself. Look at verse 13. It says, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? She's talking about her situation if this happens. And as for thee, thou shalt be one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. She had an alternate plan. And it was a wise decision to really do that. Now, I'm not saying that David would have gave her to him. We don't know. According to Scripture, he shouldn't do that. Right? But at least she made the appeal and said, look, let's bring this to the king, our dad, basically, and see what he has to say about this. And she told him, if you do this, I'm going to have shame in my life, and it's going to be a mark on her life for the rest of her life, and you are going to be a fool. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's what he was doing, trusting in his own heart. So here, he wouldn't listen. So his love turned to lust. Now his lust to hatred, we see. Look at verse 14. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. He committed the act. He committed the sin. All the way before this point, he could have stopped and been could have confessed it and just got right with God, but he didn't. He went all the way through with it. Why? Because his heart was desperately wicked. He had a desire. He was covetous. And he couldn't stop this in his heart. And verse 15 says, then Amnon hated her exceeding. Wow, that is weird. Here he was so vexed with her. He wanted her so bad. He couldn't think of anything else. He was sickly in appearance. And now he did this act of sin. And now he hates her. Wow. The fact is, he never really loved her, did he? There's three types of love the Bible talks about. One of those types is the agape love. That's the love of Christ, sacrificial. The other is phileo. That's a brotherly love. And then the third, or first, whichever way you want to flip it, is the eros. That's just that physical attraction, that fleshly type thing. That's all he had. That's all he desired. He didn't care nothing about marriage or doing things right. All he wanted was her. And soon as he had this situation taking place, he hated her. Now, maybe he hated her because he realized that he had sinned. Well, I don't know. But all I know is that he couldn't get rid of her fast enough. He said, arise and be gone. Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you again. Verse 16, and she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken to her. She's saying, hey, we can still fix this. She's still giving him opportunities. And what she's saying is, we can consummate this or get married. They've already committed the act. We can still get married and solve this problem. But if we don't, then we're going to be, like she said, I'm going to be in shame, because virgins, they wore colorful clothes. And through this, she's going to turn around, put ashes on her head, and she's going to take those clothes off. So everybody's going to know that she's not a virgin anymore. So she's going to feel that shame. And he is going to be this fool who's done something he shouldn't have done. So she's still trying to give him a chance. But he's not listening. You know, God does this, doesn't he? He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. I'll tell you, I don't know how long his mercy is. because I've experienced it for so long and still experience it. And I'm glad for it. He's not doing what he did to Achan. He's not doing what he did to Ananias and Sapphira, which he could have, but he didn't. He gives us that mercy over and over and over. He makes the way to escape many times when we are tempted. And Corinthians chapter 10 tells us. So, nonetheless, he wouldn't have any part of it. Verse 17 says, "Then he called his servants that ministered unto him and said, Put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her." Insult to injury. Throw her out and bolt the door. Don't let her get back in. "And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went out crying. And Absalom her brother said unto her, Hath Ammon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister, he is thy brother. Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother's Absalom's house. So here she went back, she went to Absalom, and of course Absalom knew right away something was wrong because she wasn't wearing the garment she was wearing before. And he figured the whole thing out, and he knew that Amnon had defiled his sister. The Bible says that she was desolate, that means devastated. It tore her up. She really was in a bad way. But nonetheless, Absalom calmed her down and told her, "Let's don't make a big deal of this right now." Because Absalom has got a plan. And we're going to see that as we go through this. And, you know, you think about it in your mind, you think, wow, I think Absalom was right. You know, it's easy to see it from that perspective, is it not? But a lot of times, the way we see things are not necessarily the right things to do. But nonetheless, Absalom, he's got a plan. He's going to wait 2 years before this plan comes to fruition. Verse 21 says, "But when the king David heard of all these things, he was very wroth." Now, it doesn't tell us what David did here, and I think this is another problem. David should have probably did something here. He should have probably stepped in. He probably should have done something to Amnon and took care of the situation and made sure that everybody knew however he needed to take care of it. But see, David, he's getting older in his life, and he's still, you know, it's one of those things that it's hard to preach something that you're doing. You know what I mean? It's hard to say, this is right, when you're doing it's wrong. And a lot of preachers will allow for that. If they have something in their life that that they know they're doing wrong, they're not going to say anything about it because they're pointing their finger at themselves. They don't want to do that. And so if you've done something that is wrong, sometimes we don't want to make a point of that because then someone points finger and says, well, you're doing it too. But the Word of God is always true and right to preach. And if you've done something wrong or doing something wrong, you confess it as sin and move on. Everybody experiences sin. Everybody goes through it. And taking care of it is the most important thing. David had confessed his sin earlier on, but now he's just kind of, we don't really know the details here, but it seems as though he's not really taking care of the situation that he should be taking care of. And it's amazing, you know, to remember too, you've heard this statement many times, that what your parents do in moderation, your children do in excess. David, he did something with Bathsheba that he shouldn't have done, but at least after everything was said and done, he owned up and took her into his house, and she became his wife. Here, he went a step farther and threw her out and left that shame on her. Again, he's doing a very similar thing that his father did. He's following in his footsteps. Verse 22, it says, "When Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad," he didn't let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, "for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, Behold now, thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all go down. Let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, Why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him, and he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. So here's this plan he's got laid out. He's going to bring all the king's sons, all his brothers, stepbrothers, there are many of them, together, and they're going to go, and they're going to have this feast, okay? And it's because it's time of the shearing, so he's got all these sheep, and he's going to just have a party, basically. And in verse 28 says, Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. In other words, when he's inebriated, he's been drinking, he's not feeling any pain, having a good time. He said, I want you to pay attention to that. He says, And when I say unto you, Smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. So his plan was his servants, the folks who were serving him, would take care of his business and kill Amnon. And that was the plan. And verse 29 says, And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him upon his mule and fled. Now, he took care of this business. Now, this is interesting as well. Now, Absalom didn't commit the sin of adultery that we know of, but Absalom committed a sin of murder. His father David did both of those. So again, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's why it's important we as parents and grandparents don't let sin into our lives. Don't let it have an occasion to cause a stumbling block for us. We may not realize it or see it, but our kids can see those things. And they can see it in our lives. And again, hey, it's all right for Dad. It might be all right for me too. Hopefully they'll go the opposite way with that. But nonetheless, we see what he's done. He's murdered his brother. Verse 30 says, And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Now, as word spreads and rumors go, this is one of those things. It didn't happen that way, but that's what someone has said, and they spread that rumor. Of course, that's going to break David's heart, we know. It says, verse 31, Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. So, he's there, he's brokenhearted again. He's just, he took all his clothes. When they rent their clothes, they're really, they're in a point where they're lamenting over what has happened, whatever situation it is. And David is lamenting his son's death. And in his mind, every one of them are dead, okay? Except Absalom, of course. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, this is the cousin that was the friend of Amnon. Remember, he came and gave him a plan. Listen what he says. He answered and said, Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men for the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. That's interesting, isn't it? It almost, it sounds to me like he knew the very day this thing occurred that Absalom had a plan to kill him, kill Amnon. That's what it sounds like. He knew this. I don't know when he knew it, but he knew of this plan. He didn't tell anybody, apparently. He didn't tell Amnon, who was, by the way, his friend, that he gave ungodly advice to, by the way. He could have went to him and said, Hey, there's a plan that Absalom's going to get you and kill you. You need to be on the lookout for this and watch out for this. Or go to David and talk to him. David was his uncle. He didn't do either one of those. And nonetheless, it sounds like, now again, I don't know everything about this situation, but it sounds like he knew this was going to happen at some point before it happened. In verse 33, he says, Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. So he knew. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. This was a sad day for David and his sons that this has taken place. It's always a sad day when you see family disputes and things happen this way. And that's what's going on here. It's affecting David's family. What he has done, what he has opened the door to, has caused or allowed these things to happen. Now, we don't know. We can't go back. We can, if in one hand, spit in the other and see which one fills up first, the old saying goes. But we don't know what would happen if David never committed sin. We have no idea. Could this still have happened? Yes, it could have still happened. We don't know that. But it is obvious to us that we believe that the influence of the things that we do influences our children. It makes allowances for them to do things that we do. Who do they have to be their guide and leader? It's their parents, their grandparents, those people that are leading and guiding them as they grow up. And so it's important. Now, we know the Lord can change all that. One person getting saved can stop a family that maybe they've never been saved. Nobody in the family's been saved, but that person, his life can be transformed and changed, right? Through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, and through accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Absolutely. But a lot of times, because of the influence of parents, and it talks about that in Exodus, to them, what is it, in the third and fourth generations that hate God. The influence of parents influences children. And we see that today in our society. Look at people who have rejected God when we were growing up and teenagers in the 60s, and some of us that were teenagers in the 70s, and I guess, yeah, 70s would be more applicable, or 60s and 70s. That generation now is in leadership. In our colleges and all those places, those people who rebelled against all the things that were going on in America at that time. Now, some of it, you know, we can go back and we can discuss that, but a lot of things they did was wrong. And those are the very people that are teaching people today there's no God. We don't want God in our society. And because of that, their children and their children are rejecting God. Can that be changed? Yeah. It can be changed with one person putting their faith and trust in Jesus. It can change a family. It can change the grandkids. It can change a whole family. But also, a good godly family can have children that are disobedient and never accept Christ as their Savior. That can happen too. Because even though we're influenced and we're not perfect, none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are going to be wrong. And so it's really a choice, an individual choice between every person, what they do with Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that, because sometimes we want to blame people. You can't put too much blame on a parent. I mean, unless they're living way outside the realm of being what the Bible teaches. I mean, if they're trying to live a godly life and their kids go a different way, remember, God put two perfect people in the Garden of Eden. And they disobeyed God. And we're not perfect. And so our children may not obey. God forbid that happens. We all want our children to be saved, for sure. And that's what we pray for, and that's what we try to help them. So anyway, we see this hatred turned to murder. Now the murderer turns to a fugitive. And verse 37 says, "But Absalom fled and went to Talmiah," again, "the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur." And this is really his mother's father or his grandfather. That's where he's taken refuge, is in his grandfather's house at Geshur. "And David mourned for his son every day, so Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years." So now it's three more years. So it's been 5 years since Tamar was took advantage of. And so he's been Absalom, after 2 years, he killed the sons, and then 3 years he's fled away. In verse 39, we see David's heart again. It says, "And the soul of David, King David, longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead." He had come to a resolution in his life in those 5 years, or 3 years, I guess, after he killed him, that however that took place, that basically he at least understood that. He was comforted. He knew that he was dead. He knew why the reason was and all that. And so now here in this particular passage it says, now he's turning his heart back to Absalom. He still loves his son. As dad and moms, don't we still love our children no matter when they do wrong or right? You better believe it. Now we might not like it. We may not want to accept it, but we still love them. And David still loves his son Absalom. And we're going to see as we continue on that Absalom has another plan. And all of this stems, we see, and begins because of what David's done in his life and allowed in his life. It's affected his family. And that's the same thing for us. It will affect our families. And again, that's a lesson that we all need to learn. And most important thing you can do about that is pray. Seek God's face. and ask Him, because He can do all things we can't. Anybody have any quick questions? What time is lunch? Well, it's pretty, hopefully around 12. No. That was my favorite subject in school, by the way, was lunch. Can you tell? Sorry. Any thoughts? Yes.
Even though I wanted to see Debbie every day.
I did. I didn't need to eat at all during those days. That's good, though. Everybody's different, right? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day You've given to us. Thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for how You help us to know what You want us to do in our lives. And I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your grace. And I thank You that You continually try to guide and direct us. And I thank You for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.